Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You cannot pass!
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 64. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Bolins. Back at it. Vacation Trill, no more.
He's gone.
He's
gone.
We're back to regular Trill. Massive announcement from the Lights, Camera, Barstool folks. We have a mascot. Really?
Oh.
The tax-evading film reel. Let's stop right here. We will debut his jingle.
He likes to watch movies and he likes the pod. It's really the tax evading film reel.
Uh-huh. Don't report your income, kids.
All right. I mean, fuck you, really, right? What a piece of shit.
Asshole. He's so obnoxious. I just hate how brazen he is about it. It's just
sucks
in your face.
We're stuck with him. We're stuck with this guy.
I know. The contract we signed was 2 years with Really. So. Oof.
It's a player option too on the third, which kind of that we screwed ourselves on that one.
Anything bad that happens with this podcast is because of Really. So yeah. If you have any complaints, just direct it at Really, please.
Yeah. Intern Kevin is so happy right now. He's no longer the scapegoat for the pod. It's 100% on Really.
Yeah. He can now focus on retrieving me a crisp, refreshing Gatorade G2.
Damn it. I knew it was coming.
So this Sunday got some news. We have a segment where we're going to go over movies we're most excited for the rest of the year. We actually recorded this last week, but the Ross and Thurber interview was such a nice meaty interview of 20 minutes that it bumped that segment, which again, I'm glad everyone liked that interview. We had a good time with him. We're reviewing Skyscraper on Thursday's episode, and then we also released on our Twitter the tentative schedule for the rest of the year. Tons of great movies. We're pumped. We'll get to that segment in a little bit. Let's start it off from the top. This news, oh man, this is huge for my brand. Tim Heidecker, cast in Jordan Peele's next movie, Us, which stars Elizabeth Moss, Lupita Nyong'o, and Winston Duke as well. But Tim Heidecker will be one of the four lead roles. It's a white couple and a black couple, and it's going to be potentially a thriller again. There's not many details on it, but it comes out early next year. And let the campaign begin for the 2020 Oscars, because if Tim Heidecker wins an Oscar, my brand will peak. That's the peak brand for my friends and I, if Tim Heidecker even gets nominated for an Oscar.
You're really tied into Tim Heidecker.
Yeah, this is more of a brand for me than Goss God, because my friends and I have been massive Tim and Eric fans ever since Tim and Eric first debuted. So very, very excited.
Who else is in this?
Elizabeth Moss, Lupita Nyong'o, and Winston Duke.
Okay.
No, as long as it's not related to This Is Us, it's good. I just wish people would. I wish people would Lupita Nyong'o to the movies more.
You
know what I'm saying?
You don't like This Is Us?
What? It's sad.
It's a very sad show. I don't watch it, but I didn't know you had much experience with This Is Us.
They buy into how sad their show is. And you can tell just based on the fact that their Twitter hashtag emoji is a box of tissues.
That's true.
Like, it's insane. I mean, they just take it. They're like, yeah, we just make you cry. That's the point of our show.
I'll stick with Grey's Anatomy. That's my go-to show choice. Guilty pleasure show.
I thought you meant like your cry show. All right.
You know, it's got some tear-jerking moments in Grey's Anatomy. They've been going at it so long that main characters have left the show or died pretty much on a regular basis. So you get some moments there. But I don't watch This Is Us. I just remember this year. Didn't it air after the Super Bowl? Wasn't that the big push?
Yeah, it was an NBC Super Bowl. So yeah, they're like the new season or whatever was on air. Yeah.
The dad was in the fire, and there was a big, because I think we knew that he died, but nobody really knew how he died. So it was like supposed to be the episode where it happened. And then it turned out that like it didn't really happen in that episode. So they got us. If you watch This Is Us, I can't imagine that Venn diagram is very fat in the middle for our listeners between LCP and This Is Us watchers.
It probably is not. Probably is not. So yeah, I'm excited for this. Kind of ironic that we're talking about a 2020 movie on an episode where we talk about our 2019 movie on an episode where we talk about the rest of 2018. But this will be out right around the time Get Out came out. So he's trying to corner that market, get the hype early. This will be just before, I think it's going to be January, February. It's going to be just before, whatchamacallit?
The Oscars?
Damn, Captain Marvel.
Oh.
It is going to be before the Oscars, though.
But it won't qualify for that Oscars, right?
No, it won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'll qualify for the 2020 Oscar. So it'll, you assume if Steel does it again, it'll be a hype movie for most of the year. So excited about that. And again, I'm pumped for old Tim Heidecker, who's an Ant-Man. Next up, speaking of Oscars, Oscar winner Frances McDormand. She passed on being in the Joker origin story. She was going to potentially be the Joker's mom. And she's not in any comic book movies, but she was in Transformers. If you recall, she was in Transformers. So she has done movies like this. And I actually, I didn't see it in the story, but I wonder if that played a role in her not doing it. Like, she's obviously gone for the money grab before, and she's not an actress that needs, you know, to be in more of these movies to be like, I don't know, like seen more. Like, she's an Oscar winner. But I thought this was interesting that she's, because she's one of the few not a comic book movie who's a big time actor or actress, and she turned it down.
Is this the Phoenix Joker movie?
Correct.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Because we don't have many details about the Leto movie yet.
No, just that it's going to happen.
Cool. I don't know how to feel about this. I like her, but it's a Joker origin story. We don't really care who is playing anybody aside from the Joker, right?
Oh, I don't.
I mean, so it's a good move for her because, I don't know, you got Todd Phillips behind this movie, so maybe it can be halfway decent, but it doesn't seem in line with her brand. Let's just put it that way. Seems like she's used to do, even though she did Transformers, it seems like she's good on sticking to the more prestigious productions. And it's worked out very well for her. And she's a great actress, too.
I think a good little substitute here would be Toni Collette from Hereditary. She'd be a good sub in for this sort of movie. You know what? I heard, folks, that Frances McDormand called up Mama Trobons to see if it's a good idea to play the mom of a Joker before absolutely declining this role. Folks, I heard this on the airwaves.
Have you seen this? Heard about this? So yeah, that's interesting news. Apparently they want a big name actress for the role. This is according to Umberto Gonzalez on Twitter. He said,
so how much of the movie is going to take place? So is it going to be the mom of the Joker in the current time, or is it going to be the mom during when the Joker was a kid? Like, how far back are we going?
There's a role. Okay. An unofficial casting breakdown for the Joker movie includes a character named Penny, who is described as being a 60 to 74 year old woman in failing health who shares her apartment with her grown up son, her large adult son. What if the Joker is just a large
mom? Shut up! I'm trying to joke.
He's a fail son. That'd be so funny. Holy shit!
Who just moved back home? So yeah. Wow.
Oh.
So look, we've talked about how we like DC characters. We would just like them to maybe do something different. I mean, obviously, this is one of the things we mentioned. Why not just do like origin or not origin, but like standalone movies. But now to have two separate Joker movies, that's just fucking ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I don't get it personally. I don't understand. I don't understand the business behind that. Because it seems like you'd want one central Joker to be your Joker. But if they're not doing a cinematic universe type of deal, then maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, the Joker's a fascinating character, but also, can you really have the Joker without Batman? At some point, it's got to be a Joker and Batman movie. And then you get into the discussion of who's Batman, right?
I mean, he was in Suicide Squad. He had more. Batman had like only a cameo.
Yeah, and Suicide Squad was not good.
You prompted the question.
I'm just saying. I'm saying you got two Joker movies, and is Batman going to appear in any of them? Because I would be disappointed if Batman wasn't in 25% of at least one of those movies. And it's not going to be Ben Affleck Batman.
No. Yeah, it won't be.
Patrick Warburton.
That's very specific, but sure.
The Tick.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm making that up.
They're going to say Patrick Wilson.
Oh, hey, Joker.
I can't do it. Like,
Patrick Wilson is in a DC movie. He's going to be the villain in Aquaman coming out this fall.
He is.
Yeah.
Our boy. He's our boy, I feel like. He's like an LCP favorite.
Patrick Wilson?
He's got great skin.
I feel like me and Trill both really like Patrick Wilson, at least.
I like Patrick Wilson.
I mean, I like him too. I just feel like we've never really talked about him.
No, we haven't talked about him. But he's one of those actors that is very on brand for us liking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why. You can't explain it. Yeah.
Moving on. Zombieland. Actually, two straight zombies stories here. Zombieland. Now, let me say something. This was touted as an exclusive. I want to say for Variety, maybe. We tweeted this news back in January. A listener was at a thing with Woody Harrelson, and Woody Harrelson said this was happening. So just letting you know, there's no exclusive. We had this news a while ago. It's coming back. Zombieland 2. Everyone's returning. Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Abigail Breslin. A lot of Oscars in that category. A lot of Oscar nominations. I think all four of them have Oscar nominations. Does Woody Harrelson have an Oscar nom? I think he probably does, for
People versus Larry Flint. Yeah, I think that was
three billboards.
Yeah, he got one for three billboards too.
And Abigail Breslin has one as well, but she was much younger. Jesse Eisenberg has Social Network, and Emma Stone won an Oscar. So that's actually never thought about that. That's a star-studded cast there. So Zombieland 2. And this comes on the heels of when we talked to Ross and Thurber. He talked about not forcing sequels, like telling the whole story. Like, he told as much about Dodgeball as he possibly could. I think this doesn't fall on that. I think Zombieland, there were so many more zombies at the end of the movie. So I think there's potential for, you know, to expand this story. But, you know, it's a matter of how good the script is and if it's witty like the other one. I mean, Zombieland was such a surprise when it came out. It was so enjoyable. The visuals were great, like when they put the rules up on the screen. Like, it was a fun movie. So I hope this one's just as fun because, again, cast is great.
This is probably the only zombie-related content, this and The Last of Us 2, even though they're not technically zombies, that I'm looking forward to because I feel like the zombie trend is at its dying breaths, slowly being carried out by, what's that TV show, The Walking Dead? People somehow still watch yet hate it.
Yeah, they do. But, people, you know, the biggest fans hate The Walking Dead, I feel like.
It seems like it's like cyclical. Every couple of years, you have a monster that's very popular. 2008, vampires came onto the scene with Twilight. Vampires Suck, parody movie. All these other vampire-related properties. Go back to 1992, you had Interview with the Vampire and all those Anne Rice novels around vampires. So you had vampires that were hot for a few years, and then it shifted into zombies. So the question is when's Frankenstein's monster going to get his moment?
He did.
But not like these.
You got the Aaron Eckhart one, which is pretty bad.
I Frankenstein. Hey, maybe the Dark Universe comes back. Maybe he does get his moment.
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's hope
Frankenstein's a little bit different than general types like vampires and zombies. You know?
Well, yeah, there's like multiple different vampires. You can't have more than one Frankenstein. He's like a patchwork monster.
Well, Frankenstein actually is technically a zombie. So I just kind of...
You mean Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster is pretty much a zombie. So I think I just kind of owned myself there.
That's a pop culture rule. If a conversation involving Frankenstein, the name Frankenstein, takes place and nobody corrects the person and says Frankenstein's monster, the conversation is invalid. You have to have one shitty person correct the other person.
Yeah.
So I took on that role. But well, let's continue.
So we're definitely happy about Zombieland 2, right? So that makes Zombieland 1. And folks, they're making a Zombieland origin story starring Billy Dee Williams. You want to know what it's called?
What?
Zombie Lando.
All right.
I fucking quit the podcast.
Oh, man.
I'm done.
Speaking of which, by the way, speaking of sequel names, on a serious note, the revelation I had this past week, and on our schedule, Jared Carabas is going to be joining us for Halloween. He's a fucking huge Halloween fan when that comes out in the fall. But now that they've wiped out canon, I might have said this last week for all I know, I don't know. Now that they wiped out all sequels to Halloween, and this new Halloween is the direct sequel to the original, the sequel to Halloween is Halloween. Which just, like I credit them for trying to fix how bad the sequels were, but now it's, like, still funny. Like, their timeline still looks ridiculous, because it's Halloween and then Halloween.
It's kind of like albums, right? You know, Weezer has 3+ albums called Weezer. They have, like, the blue album, the green album, the red album. There's probably more. I stopped paying attention to Weezer, and be honest with you. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You got two movies, the same title. Maybe we just call it, like, a certain Halloween movie off of the movie poster. It's probably got blue and orange in this one. So blue and orange Halloween. Well, yeah. I mean, the year's how you identify stuff mostly. Like on Wikipedia, Halloween, 2018 film. I'm just trying to make a joke. Trying to make a joke. They're not going as well as Ken Jack's joke today.
Leave it for the professionals.
Hey, folks, did you hear about this Halloween sequel?
Troll, you should learn a little thing about pre-writing jokes for a podcast. You could learn something here.
Yeah, it's a learning curve for you.
Banned for life.
Watch professional work.
Banned for life.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding. Self-imposed ban.
Could be a comeback one day.
I'm very reclusive, as you guys know.
let's stick with zombies, though. Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Selena Gomez, and Tilda Swinton. They're going to be in a movie called The Dead Don't Die, which is a zombie commentary.
Zombie movies. Oh.
Buscemi, Chloe Sevigny?
Sevigny.
They're going to be in it as well. A zombie comedy. So here's my thing with this one. I mean, I'm okay with the cast, I guess. I like Adam Driver. He was fantastic in the movie that's a heist movie. Logan Lucky. He was great in Logan Lucky. And obviously, Bill Murray, I mean, I don't know. People stand on different ends with Bill Murray, and you're either oversaturated or, you know, wear their Bill Murray t-shirts. But, I mean, there is a zombie comedy already that is kind of the pinnacle of zombie comedies. I mean, Shaun of the Dead I don't think you can top that. So this one I'm not quite as into.
I just don't get all the zombie-related media properties. Maybe it's just tapping into people's dread. That's the big reason why they're selling. But we just got done saying Zombie Lando 2 is what I'm excited for. Not really looking forward to this one. It's too much zombie stuff for me. And plus, Bill Murray already played a zombie in Zombie Land 1.
That's true. Yeah, he was in Zombie Land 1. Or a fake zombie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fake zombie.
He's acting like a zombie. That was the joke from that one, is that he was acting like one. I don't know if you remember the actual movie. True. But
Okay. Yeah, so, you're being really mean to me over the last week and a half. It's like the tides have turned. You seized on my softening from becoming a dad and just put your talons right into my back. Continue to press.
So, folks, I wrote this joke after the fact, I realized that the person I was referencing doesn't play the sport I was thinking of. But I'm going to say the joke anyway. So you got Bill Murray and Adam Driver. And Murray and Drivers are usually a pretty good mix. But I forgot Andy Murray is actually not a golfer. So I got nothing for this one.
This is becoming an ugly rivalry between the two of you.
That's a parody of my laugh, by the way, because I have such a high pitched laugh. That's like the extreme version. I thought that was good. I like these jokes. I'm going to be fair. I think they're pretty good.
Joke episode. I wrote these while we were like setting up the podcast. So let's see how the rest of these go.
Well, let's move on. I'm sure you'll have a joke for this one. Assassin's Creed. Remember that shit movie? That was a bad movie. That's just not good. That's another one of those Michael Fassbender needs a new agent movies. It was supposed to be a trilogy. A trilogy. Imagine that. Imagine three of those movies. Did the both of you see it? I don't think you saw a Trill, right?
No, I saw it.
Okay.
I saw it. Yeah.
It's not good.
It's bad. It's bad.
I mean, I don't know where they would have gone with this. And what do you think the main problem with Assassin's Creed was? I mean, I think the conceit of what it was, like them dropping in different time, I think that was ridiculous.
I hate the games. I hate the game. I know some people liked them. I'm not going to say they're bad games. Personally, I hate the games. I can't stand playing them. They're sloppy. I hate the story. I hate the whole animus thing that they put people in to bring them back to the past. I just hate that. So I hated the movie.
So I like the first one, and also Black Flag were pretty good. The one where you're in like a pirate in the Caribbean, which makes it's a wild turn of events, but it's a pretty good game. That movie stunk really, really, really bad. It was not good at all. And I'm very happy they didn't make one. But folks, you know, I heard they were rebooting this series, and they were going to have Kim Kardashian, Tom Cruise, and Snoop Dogg star. Do you know what they were going to call it, folks?
What?
They're going to call it Ass Man Weed. Ass Man Weed. Just want to make sure that everyone at home got it.
Hate you so much. All right.
I got two more items left, so stick with us.
All right, talk about some team ups. A courtroom movie, Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan called Just Mercy. That's a dynamite team up, right? Like those are two I'd love to see in a movie together.
I love courtroom movies. I love procedural dramas. Hmm. Those type of things. So yes, butter that one up. What's the joke?
Oh, okay. You're referring to me. All right.
No. Folks, give me your thoughts on it first.
Yeah, usually you warm up to them. You got to like get the audience ready for it.
No, so this is why I'm not the leader of the podcast. It'd be very like this.
It does look really good. I love Jamie Foxx. Love Michael B. Jordan. Well, there's a second team up involved, though. Wasn't there, Jeff?
Yeah, so I didn't know if your joke was going to be based off that or not. The other one is The Rock and Tom Cruise have kind of made some waves on Twitter talking about joining up, You know what? Which, again, Mission Impossible Fallout comes out very soon, and Tom Cruise, say what you want about him. Great action star. I'd love to see The Rock and Tom Cruise. I want to see The Rock as a villain. Put The Rock as a villain in the next Mission Impossible. Give The Rock like a different, you know, he's a hero and everything. In Skyscraper, he's going to be, you know, more of a battered, bruised up hero. Make him a villain in the next Mission Impossible. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad idea, but I'm all in on that.
Yeah. So, folks, talking about Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, isn't it weird how Jamie Foxx has two exes? Tom has three, and Jamie's dating one of them.
That's almost like a legitimate analytical pop culture comment.
Yeah, that's like a talking point on Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
No, because they had two exes in Jamie Foxx's name.
I know. No, I get it. But like, I actually learned something I never realized from that. So not only was it a joke, it was informative.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Damn. I'm
Ken Jack. Welcome to Entertainment Tonight.
I could definitely do that. We should make that a skit one day where my name's like Chip Skylark with Entertainment Weekly. That's an actual character from Fairly Odd Parents, I think. But that would be
yeah,
a cool
it name is.
A Ryan Seacrest type. From BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, folks, here we're going to talk to you about Kim Kardashian. Ha, ha, ha. Like, really, like, over the top, like, news dude.
Or the best is the TMZ skit from Popstar with Will Arnett playing Mark 11. Yeah. Just the drinks get bigger and bigger as they go throughout the movie.
And just laughing uncontrollably at everything he says.
Yeah, okay, so that's good. I'm okay with both team-ups. I want The Rock to play a villain. Tro, you're a big Rock fan. You're wearing Rock merchandise right now. Do you want to see The Rock as a villain?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see The Rock in not only Mission Impossible, but what about John Wick?
Ooh, that might be better. I think that might fit him better, because I'm not sure a villain will play as well because it is The Rock. Maybe him as a villain in John Wick, because that movie does things that are unconventional, and because of what the movies are, they seem to work. At least that's how I kind of view him.
Yeah, I don't know though, because the thing about John Wick is, like, there are very talented people in it, but Keanu, for the most part, is the biggest name in that entire series. So, I don't know if this is a real problem, but when I watch a Rock movie, I'm always like, "That's the Rock." In the back of my mind, I'm like, "That's the Rock." So he might take away from the immersion of John Wick, because when I watch Keanu as John Wick, I'm like, "That's John Wick."
Yeah, that's fair. You're right in that. I think it would detract away from what is essentially Keanu's franchise. So, like, Keanu, it's a really would have a, it'd be, it'd definitely take too much away from it. It would be like if there was, I don't know, like all of a sudden John Wick or Keanu Reeves comes out in a like a WWE like Super Slammer or whatever, and like suplex the Rock. Like, it's not your thing, man. It's Wick's franchise. Or it's Keanu's franchise.
That sounds pretty neat, though.
That would be pretty badass. I'm talking myself into it the more after I said it.
You got a joke here? Oh, wait, did you already tell it?
I already told Jamie Foxx one. The Jamie Foxx joke. Yeah.
You got another one for this movie item?
Well, we got one more news story.
Okay.
This one I'm excited about, because we're going to hang on this one for a little bit. Because actually, we're going to hang on this one for a little bit. So let me get to something first. You know where a place that I hang out a lot is? Do you guys know?
Fuddruckers?
Folks? I'm not saying.
It's something that I hang out on and watch movies, because it's
Red Robin. Unlimited steak fries. No?
Nope.
You don't go to Red Robin?
It's a big rectangle you put in a bedroom.
Oh. Is it a mattress?
It is. And this episode is brought to you by Lisa Mattresses. 300,000 happy sleepers. Lisa has over 11,000 five-star reviews, and you can get $160 off a Lisa mattress right now at lisa.com/barstool. $160 off a very comfortable mattress. And it, as we mentioned last week, it's in a box. It's worth buying the mattress just to watch the mattress, you know, explode out of that box, basically.
That should be the next viral trend. It's like hashtag mattress inflation challenge.
Yeah.
And it's just videos of people opening up mattresses. Not that entertaining, but neither are most of these viral trends.
Yeah, that's very true. Again, $160 off at lisa.com, LEESA.com/barstool. Lisa, it's more than sleep. Last bit of news. We have one Blockbuster video left in the United States. There was a great documentary. I think Vice might have done it, on a Blockbuster in Alaska. That one's gone. There's only one left in the country, and I already forget where it is. It's in Oregon. That's right. It's in Bend, Oregon. Only one Blockbuster left. This is really fucking sad. This is unfortunate. And somebody dug up a tweet about, like, Blockbuster tweeting, like, tweet us one reason why Netflix has been bad for you, or some shit like that. Like, it just did not age well at all. But we're going to talk some Blockbuster memories. We tweeted out asking to share Blockbuster memories, and I picked out a bunch that seemed like common things. So let's comment on each of these tweets. We'll read them out. We'll shout out these LCB audience members. Somebody tweeted at us, Todd Rodriguez tweeted this photo, which it's a photo of, like, I'm trying to show Trill and Ken Jack. It's a photo of, like, that popcorn tub you could buy at Blockbuster. Oh. So it was like a popcorn tub, and in the bottom there was plastic, and then the plastic underneath that, there were kernels with butter, and you would put the tub right in your microwave. And he says, I always have to pick up one of these bad boys to inevitably burn it in the microwave. So true. It was always like 75% okay, and then everything else was just charred black at the bottom.
I can't do microwave popcorn in general. It's not worth it for me.
I do it on the stove if I make popcorn at home. Really? I put the kernels in a pot and I cook it on the stove.
You would, dude.
I know.
Yeah, that's a great memory. I remember, you know, a lot of those candy items you got to get at Blockbuster. You're picking it up. Just going through the checkout line. Everything was impeccably placed right there to grab when you're a 12-year-old kid. Pester your parents to get it. And they're always like, no, we have that at home. But it's not from Blockbuster, Mom, you say. It's like, it being from Blockbuster made it special. Also, the best part about Blockbuster for me, the smell. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I miss that.
It, Blockbuster had, every location had a very specific smell that I don't know if it was due to just having so much plastic in the store or what, but you walked in and it's like, this smells like a Blockbuster.
I know what you mean. And you couldn't really identify where it came from. It's like one of those like Schrodinger scent things where like almost like Subway. You can't figure, you have to put your finger on what it is, but it's just enticing.
Just worth that one in there. Yeah. But no, smelled great. So in general, let me wax poetic about Blockbuster for a minute. There is nothing better than going to Blockbuster on a Friday night. It just was an awesome feeling. Either you're with your parents. I never went to Blockbuster much by myself when I got my driver's license. I just wasn't really watching movies by that point. I was probably off like, I don't know. Anyway, you went in there. It was like a world of possibility. You go to the movies. You go to the video games. Everything was at your fingertips. Nothing beat the feeling. And this feeling doesn't exist in movies anymore, of going in for a new release and snagging one of the last copies behind the cardboard box advertisement for the copies.
Yep.
You see it right there, and it just was like in your mind. It's like, oh, my God, I'm so lucky. And we don't really have that anymore. There's no scarcity, which is good. Let me say this. Everything we have now is much, much better than Blockbuster. It's why Blockbuster is out of business, or almost out of business. But at the same time, it's nostalgia.
Yeah, it is. And again, I miss it. Like if they were still open around me, I'd probably go every once in a while. Other things that people tweeted at us, not rewinding the VHS tapes when you return them, if you're like a badass. Did you rewind your tapes?
No.
No, they had a tape rewinder there to do that. Why not just use that very specific device?
There used to be a rewind fee. There was a rewind fee at Blockbuster.
Wow.
I forget if I did or not, though.
I think I probably did. I'm courteous like that, but at the same time.
I don't even remember specifically renting a VHS, but I do remember returning DVDs.
Yeah, you're young, man.
Like, he's only 2 years younger than me. I mean, that's not. Oh man, I rented VHSs for a while. I mean, that's how I first saw. No, that's actually not true. That's how I first saw Star Wars after the special editions were in theaters, and I was always like, "What the hell? Like, these are different movies, basically. Like, where's all the? we just tweeted this clip. Where's Jedi Rocks and Return of the Jedi?
Ocho Chicho. They don't say that.
Was that a quote from the Santa Claus?
Yeah.
No, but that's
Popo Gijo?
Is it Topo Gijo?
Yeah, Topo Gijo.
I don't know.
Topo Gijo is from Ed Sullivan show, I think, is that reference. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, okay, so like my era, when I went to Blockbuster the most, they still had Genesis and SNES games in it. So it was definitely in that VHS era. Those are wild times. Actually, I read somewhere that like VHS tapes for Blockbuster to buy like had their own unique licensing fee per VHS tape to get like a unique rental license movie, and each copy was like $80 to $120 for Blockbuster to buy out. And then DVDs didn't have that, which is why like in the DVD era, you could pretty much go in and get any movie you wanted at any time because they could order enough inventory, comparatively speaking. Damn. I read that one time. I don't know if that's true, but I think that's pretty fascinating because I did notice that when they started getting DVDs, all of a sudden they had movies for sale now because, you know, it turns out nobody really needs to buy like another copy of like, or they don't need like 800 copies of Equilibrium anymore.
Did you guys go to a liquidation sale at your local Blockbusters?
I did not.
It was very sad.
No.
It was very sad.
No, man.
I think because they were charging full price. Didn't make sense.
I was never a movie buying guy. I never liked to buy movies. I just didn't like having them around. I know a lot of people bought DVDs because they liked having that DVD display on a bookcase because it looked kind of cool. But I just never really rewatched movies that much.
I have a massive Blu-ray collection.
No shit.
Yeah,
I have the one DVD still.
I haven't bought them in a while, but I will say I mentioned this in our group. Avengers Infinity War may push me to get a 4K TV. I can't afford it, so I'm not going to do it. But like, I would like to get a 4K TV just for Avengers Infinity War alone. I mean, I want a 4K TV to begin with because they're really nice and the quality is fantastic. But I'd love to see that movie on there. How about
you should just open up a GoFundMe with our listeners?
I should.
I'm sure they'll buy it for KT.
Membership card. I wish I could find our membership card. I wish we could sell fake Blockbuster membership cards. Kind of like the premium content pass from Troll Ballins.
Yeah, the Troll Ballins pass, yeah.
I think people were selling them on eBay. You can buy them from eBay.
Well, the Alaska store, you could call up and they'd send you one.
Yeah, that's right. Because people found them to be collector's items. They that's
what
wild.
What was the first R-rated or rated M game you remember renting?
Mortal Kombat. I don't know if they had game ratings at that point, but definitely that was the most controversial game that had ever been released on consoles. Well, broadly, because then there was an Atari game that had like dicks and stuff in it. I think it was like I think it was called like Custer's Revenge.
Yep. That was a fucked up game.
Are you a big Leisure Suit Larry guy?
No, dude. It creeped me out.
Did you guys rent video games a lot from Blockbuster?
No, I never rented one from Blockbuster, but I did rent one from my library a few times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I rented video games a whole lot.
What'd you get?
Let me say this. There was a time, a golden period of video games in the PlayStation era where you could rent a PlayStation 1 game and burn it onto a CD. So you could copy a CD. I think you had to have a modified PlayStation for it, which I had. I had some guy solder in a chip that could play Japanese release games and these pirated games. So I may or may not have rented some PlayStation 1 games and burned them onto CDs.
I don't even know before internet, where you'd just find someone to solder a chip into your PlayStation. Like, what would you do? Put out a sign?
There's a local... There used to be in, this is a shout out to the Indiana folks listening to the podcast. There was a video game store by Castleton Square Mall. It was in a strip center that's right outside of it. This is a real local video game store. And the guy who worked there was the nicest guy, like huge enthusiast, loved video games. And he did it for a fee. He made pretty good money off of it too, because all he had to do was crack it open, solder something on or remove something. And I think it was like $50 or something. Didn't take him very long.
Sounds super illegal though.
Oh, but pirating video games? Like, I'm sure there's something that is not legal about, like, modifying... Well, I don't know if it's illegal, but it's definitely avoids the warranty of your PlayStation.
Yeah.
But yeah, pirating video games is very illegal, Ken Jack. That's why I don't do it anymore. I think I'm outside the statute of limitations on that.
Yeah, I think you're fine. I remember the game that I most heavily wanted to rent was Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, yeah, I love that game.
Banjo-Kazooie had, like, advertisements, I want to say, on, like, Chips Ahoy or Oreos or something, and it came out, like, I forget what, it was 1998, and it came out, and we went one morning, and this is, I got completely cucked in Blockbuster. The kid ran up ahead of me and picked it up, and I couldn't get it till the next day, because my mom wouldn't let me buy it, so I had to rent it. I loved when I rented it. I was terrible. I was awful at that game. Completely terrible. Banjo-Kazooie for the N64, but yeah, that's my video game memory there. All right, what else do we? Someone said hang out playing Virtual Boy until they told us to leave.
I've done that.
Sean L, you did that.
Do you guys remember the Virtual Boy?
Oh, I remember the Virtual Boy.
Okay, Ken Jack, the Virtual Boy might be the worst thing Nintendo's ever done. It was essentially a VR headset that sat on a tripod.
I just sent the picture to the group so Ken Jack can see it.
Had the shittiest controller of all time, and the games were in this. Yeah, the games were either in like black and green,
the red.
Yeah, he probably reviewed it or some point, but it was a huge, huge flop for obvious reasons. Nintendo's always trying something new, so I appreciate that, but it was an awful console. But they had it at a Blockbuster, and that's where you tried it out. And even when you're 12 years old, you're like, oh man, I hate this shit. Do you guys ever rent a console from Blockbuster?
Well, that's literally the next. It's like you knew, Trill. At Mel Hyphen, the time my mom told me she'd rent me a Sega for my birthday sleepover, we already had an SNES, and I was going to have a gaming slumber party, the likes of which 1994 had never seen, only to find out you had to pay a big-ass deposit, cost of a new system, up front, and she wasn't with it. And someone else commented that it used to come in like a – you'd take it out in a briefcase. Yep. I never rented it, but I think I wanted to rent one. I wanted to rent one back when NCAA football came out. It came out the first day I was in Florida visiting my grandparents, and I was going to have to wait a week, week and a half to play, and I wanted to rent one really badly, but I couldn't do it. But, yeah, did you ever rent one?
Yeah, I've rented multiple consoles. I actually – there used to be a movie store. It wasn't a Blockbuster, so I've lived all over the place. One of the places I've lived was Kansas City, Overland Park, Kansas, and, you know, suburbs and all that. Anyway, I think the place was called like Video Warehouse or Video Library, a huge store there, and you could rent any console. So I rented a Neo Geo, which to that point, I'd only seen on that Nickelodeon TV show, that video game Nick Arcade, whatever. And that was a great weekend. But I've rented a N64. I've rented a PlayStation. I think I've rented them all, man. It was always a good feeling.
Neo Geo. Wow. Yeah, I never got to rent one.
Never rented a Neo Geo?
No, never got the chance to rent any of the systems. I mean, it was an option. I always wanted to do it, but I never actually did it.
Neo Geos were like $600 back in 1994, 1993, like in that money. And the games were like $80 or $100 in 1993 money. It was a ridiculously cost prohibitive system.
The system that I wanted to rent, I believe, was Xbox 360, I think. But yeah, but continue.
Neo Geo had the horniest fighting games of all the systems.
Oh, like
Dead or Alive. Like
type ones? Or, oh, Dead or Alive. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like Fatal Fury, Dead or Alive, like all the Neo Geo games. I can't remember if Dead or Alive started on Neo Geo, but like they all had like that wildly offensive character who just was obviously designed by men. So let's leave it at that.
Someone else at MC Breakdown said renting TC Splinter Cell Chaos Theory and keeping it for 3 to 4 years until the branch closed. I'm sure there's lots of stories like that. Just having it, forgetting about it. Yeah, that's a good one. Then last two, these are very prominent Blockbuster memories for me. Woody. No, Towns Prescott is his name. Returning the videos through the outside chute was always exhilarating. Agreed. Loved the chute.
Did anyone else's parents, like when you come back to the car, they're like, oh, you put it all the way down there, right? Like it's in the box because like I don't want anyone to take it unless to get charged.
No, but that's I never even thought of that. I'm sure that happened.
Well, I think the chutes were designed in a way so the likelihood of that happening was pretty close to zero.
The shoots were great. And then I would, like being a real annoying kid, if like they didn't have the thing I wanted, I'd be like, is it in the box? Is it in the box over there? And as an employee, that's the last thing they wanted to do was sift through that fucking box and try to find the what, like,
yeah,
you wanted Jack Frost and they didn't have it.
But sometimes, Jeff, it was in the box.
Yeah, that's very
sometimes
true.
It was in the box. And that's another good Blockbuster feeling. Also, apropos of nothing, Twizzlers from Blockbuster tasted better than any other Twizzlers. It's like the Coke from McDonald's. I can't explain it.
Wow. Okay. I guess I never thought about that, but that could be true. I mentioned Jack Frost because there's the horror movie Jack Frost, and that always horrified me. It was next to the Michael Keaton Jack
Michael
Frost.
Keaton Jack Frost. Yes.
Yeah. 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 And last but not least, this one always did this. Hiding movies, games you wanted elsewhere in the store so the next time you went there, they would be there and you knew exactly where they were. I did that multiple times.
I've never done that. I was always too chicken to do something like that.
I did it at GameStop. I never did it at Blockbuster.
Yeah, I did that recently somewhere. I forget where it was, but I did that recently somewhere like a grocery store. I was trying to – oh, yeah, grocery store. They're running out of something. And I didn't want to buy 40 of them, and I just fucking hit it somewhere, and it was there like 2 days later.
I love talking about this, and I don't know the history of Blockbuster as a company, but how wild is it that the company just had no mitigation plan until it was too late to preserve their business?
Well, you know, they got in – they – this – this. I don't
they
know
got into the Redbox stuff.
Well, they got into doing streaming. They were going to do streaming stuff. And I don't know if this played a factor in why it failed. They were going to do streaming before really anyone else. Do you know what company they teamed up with?
Tesla.
There's a reason. No, because they're successful for now.
Netflix? Did the Netflix originally steal
the company? The company does not exist anymore. And when I tell you the name, it'll make sense.
Enron?
It was Enron.
No.
I said that as a joke.
Yeah, no. If you watch the Enron documentary, which I always say is my favorite documentary of all time, Enron's Smartest Guys in the Room, it was a very brief part, but it's Jeffrey Skilling talking about Blockbuster, talking about like a Blockbuster streaming or something, an online service. And I've actually never looked into it, but I wonder if that is part of the reason why. Because you do bring up a good point. Like, they weren't ready for their downfall. But I wonder if they had foreseen what was going to happen, but they teamed up with fucking Enron, and that was it.
Well, a lot of time, Jeff Skilling, too,
by the way. Don't forget, he's like the main – he gets all 500 – or like 500% of the proceeds for Greathead. So shout out Jeff Skilling. We're going to get you out of there.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because when you're running a business, most of your attention's to operating the current business model. And so it's hard to innovate and predict the future. So I'm not like putting the blame on them, but you know, it seemed like everything they tried to do, it was too late or somebody did it better. Because I know they had Blockbuster boxes. Now, the thing about that, I think I'm remembering, is they didn't actually own and operate the boxes. I think they licensed their name out to Coinstar. The Coinstar people who did the operation of the boxes, but they got completely blown out of the water by Redbox anyway. So they're late to that, which was, it's kind of the precursor to widespread streaming, the Redbox thing. And I think Redbox is still doing okay. I see people at Redbox all the time outside Walgreens.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I see them mostly. You'd see them outside McDonald's, 7-Elevens back in my hometown, back in Texas. They had some.
Have you ever been at like a Walgreens and somebody comes in and says, do you know where the nearest Redbox is? Like the fucking Walgreens employee knows the I've had this happen multiple times. Like they come to the Walgreens, there's no Redbox there, and they're coming in saying, I'm disappointed there's no Redbox here, but Walgreens associate who's already overworked and underpaid, do you have a mental directory of all the Redboxes in the greater Indianapolis area or wherever?
I've never seen that, no. And I'm happy I didn't. That's very pathetic.
So let me look at the timing here with Enron, because I pulled it up.
Let me add this. The greatest tragedy is that Make It a Blockbuster Night was completely obliterated from our cultural lexicon.
I don't even know what that is.
No, that was their tagline for a while. Make it a Blockbuster Night. That's a cool thing. Like, wouldn't you love just to be going out on a Friday night and see your friend walking down the street, going to the bar and be like, hey, Steve, Make It a Blockbuster Night.
Yeah, those commercials were great, and those are memorable commercials to me, along with Time to Make the Donuts guy, Fred the Baker from Dunkin' Donuts, because I obviously grew up in New England, where Dunkin' Donuts is like Dunkin' Donuts outside of New England is like a different fucking world. It's strange, but like it's people's lifeblood in New England. So those are the two I remember.
Is it better in New England?
I stand by that. It is it's the quality. A lot of the Dunkin' Donuts in like New York, if they get their donuts delivered, and a lot in New England still make their own donuts in the store. I mean, that's like I know, like Ken Jack, you always joke, and you're typically pretty right about like joking about food places when people say like, oh, it's better here, or like you didn't order the right thing. Like legitimately, it's just better. Like people care more about it. Like New York, they just want you in and out of the door. New England, it's completely different. Like, you know, they're sprinkling the whole top of the donut. You know, they're buttering, you know, your bagel or putting your like the cream cheese on it. Like it's like they care more about it, and they're making their own donuts at most locations in New England. It sounds ridiculous to say, but it is true. As a former New England resident, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, do you have that Enron fact? Because I'm really hungry for this information.
So this is the Wall Street Journal. This was published on March 12, 2001. So for reference, Sharon Watkins, who was the whistleblower with Enron, came out with the news in August of that year. I think the middle of August. And this is the top of the story. Enron Corp and Blockbuster Inc. unexpectedly terminated an exclusive 20-year agreement under which the two companies were to jointly deliver video on demand to consumers' homes via Enron's fiber optics network. Instead, executives at both companies said they would pursue video on demand services on their own or with other partners. The much heralded relationship between energy giant Enron and video chain rental chain Blockbuster was struck just 8 months ago and is expected to be the jumping off point for offering a variety of entertainment options. So this announcement that it was falling apart was just after the scandal really started to break, and everyone was under fire. Kenneth Lay, Jeffrey Skilling. So this is when it all really started to boil over. And this is April is when Jeffrey Skilling called somebody on an earnings call an asshole. And then like then they went like full heel and they like accepted it and they made their tagline instead of ask why, they did like they did a joke like ask why asshole, and that's when it all fell apart. It's a great documentary. But it sounds like to me they had like a huge thing lined up for their, you know, for their capability to put the streams out there, and that was maybe why this all fell apart, because now they didn't have the technology anymore. So it all kind of makes sense. Like blame Enron for why Blockbuster maybe went out of business, or for the Blockbuster that you know. Because I don't know when Netflix went into streaming. But it wasn't like, as early as 2001
or something.
Yeah, right. Like people were still getting the DVDs for a while, because like Netflix was beating Blockbuster because they were just sending out the DVDs. That was the difference.
Just imagining trying to stream a video on my internet connection before like 2010. Just like the thought of it makes me mad.
The first video I ever watched, I don't know if it was streamed, but downloaded from the internet legally, was SWAT in 2004, and it was awful quality. Movie. Yeah. I do want to. I'm on the Blockbuster page.
It's 2007, by the way. It was 2007 Netflix launched streaming. So Blockbuster was 6 years ahead of it. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah. So maybe we should. Maybe I shouldn't make fun of them. You know, sometimes being first to market isn't anything. You ever read a Wikipedia like snippet that gets serious really fast? Well, let me go into the snippet on the Blockbuster Wikipedia under Blockbuster Entertainment Awards. Blockbuster Incorporated ran an award show annually from 1995 to 2001 called the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards. In November 2001, Blockbuster announced that it would cancel the 2002 award show following concerns about viewership and celebrity attendance after the September 11th attacks.
Oh my God.
I'm like, wow, this got really serious real quickly. Yeah, it took a twist.
Wait, so what were they afraid of? That like
I don't,
would
I don't
bomb
know.
The Blockbuster Awards? What was the fear there?
I mean, at that time, everybody was afraid of everything. So I get it.
Yeah. That's I forgot about that. That's a crazy story, though. When you think about it, whether it was one or the other, and I'm looking at a thing right now where it says Blockbuster had trouble getting the rights to stream stuff at first. But it's crazy that Enron might have been, you know, the directly relatable reason why Blockbuster fell apart.
Dude, man, early just streaming on Netflix sucked back then, because like they only would stream like maybe like 10% of their movies that they had. So like 90% of the time you'd go click on the movie and it would just be like, oh, you need to get this in the mail. So you have to wait like 3 days, like it was the fucking Middle Ages or something. Meanwhile, I wanted to sit there and watch my movie now. And I remember specifically that happening with the movie Das Boot, like the 1970-something German classic. And I had to wait for it to come in the mail like an idiot.
What I guess, like, what technological advancement really led to great streaming? I mean, I'm sure both of these factors helped, but was there any one more in proportion? Was it an increase? Would you say cranberry juice?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Great streaming.
Well, obviously, mobile streaming, 4G LTE was probably pretty big.
Bandwidth.
Yeah,
well,
bandwidth.
That's a bandwidth thing, but I also wonder if...
Oh, me.
Well, but you know, no. we talked about... What's that? We talked about YouTube, like it kind of came on 2006, and like I was blown away by it. And I think YouTube was compression, right? Like that was the big deal. That I mean, because the internet services, I don't know, changed all that much between 2005 and 2006. So I'm wondering if like compression technology has just advanced so much, or our internet's really better than it used to be even 10 years ago. I don't know. I'm sure this is a quick Quora answer, but you know, we're just.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember trying to watch. I got the first iPhone, and when you tried to watch a YouTube video over the Edge network, I mean, you weren't watching the video. You were just listening to it at that point. You couldn't see anything. But that's Blockbuster. This is a long chat on Blockbuster, but this was fun. A little trip down memory lane. The last things I did at Blockbuster were my friends and I in high school, when, you know, freshman, sophomore year, we would rent the shittiest movies. I think I've said this before. The shittiest movies we could possibly find. And that's probably why I'm able to go through some bad movies now, because I just enjoy it. We'd go to the cash wrap. That's a little retail term for you. Get some upsale items, get some M&Ms, Twizzlers, get that really shitty popcorn tub, and go watch some bad movies.
I miss the West.
Your local Blockbuster, what is it today? What has it been converted to?
Ooh, let me take a look.
Learning center or a learning annex or something.
Let me take a look. I want to say it got converted.
Reno.
It got bought out and merged into the building next door to become a Total Wine, which if you know what Total Wine is, great store.
I think mine actually got turned into a Planet Fitness. Let me double check on that. I think the last time I went to Blockbuster though was that liquidation sale I was talking about, And we didn't actually, I think I bought like one movie, but we did buy this thing called Pickle in a Pouch, which we had never seen before. Or it was just like, it's literally, I'm sure you guys have probably seen this before.
Oh, I've seen it.
It's a weirder Midwestern food. But like, it's just like a pickle in a pouch. And like, it was just the most weird thing we've ever seen in our lives. So we bought a bunch of them and then we drove out to a beach and then drove over them with our cars and took videos of them. I don't know why, but we did that.
Wow. Okay. Actually, the Blockbuster in Cedar Park, Texas still has nothing, which is crazy because it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country. So that's
coming 2019. Noodles and Company.
Probably what will go in there. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh,
butter,
is
the butter noodles are so good from Noodles and Company, by the way. Sorry, Ken Jack.
Butter noodles?
Buttered noodles. It's the best thing on their menu. It's just
a little salt, little butter.
Yeah, salt, butter, and some Parmesan cheese. Get them with the
that
meatballs.
That sounds great. Like a conspiracy theory. Butter noodles.
Get it? All right, there was my last one. Thanks for having me out.
That was terrible. That was really funny, though. That was the worst one, but that's the best one.
Wait, I just want to announce that it was just 5 seconds ago that I got it.
It was. I was laughing along.
I was laughing along because I was like, yeah, I got it. And then I just finally got it 10 seconds after.
Oh, that's funny.
You've heard of Pizzagate, but now butter noodles. All right, that's all. That's all the time I have, folks.
We actually, this one really long. We don't really have time for the movies we're looking forward to segment. So I think we're going to slot it in next week. Because, you know, we're trying to keep these. Maybe I'll slice it in.
It'll be Monday morning. Okay, everybody's going to be at work. Nobody really is on vacation anymore. Like the 2 week July 4th period for vacations is ended. Let's have an extended podcast.
All right. We're going to add the segment in right here. Movies we're looking forward to the rest of 2018.
Top five movies we're most looking forward to for the rest of 2018. You can see our full lists today on BarstoolSports.com. Just going to do top five here. Trill, myself, Ken Jack, and you, the audience. There's an audience list as well. Some surprising picks. Some very surprising picks. We'll start it out with you, Trill. Number five, movie you're most anticipating for the rest of the year.
A Star is Born. A Star is Born.
Do you think like a sound name kind of speaks?
I know, but the name kind of speaks for itself. It's like you expect like a flourish after that happens. I'm excited by this. This is a movie I wasn't excited by until I saw the trailer and saw Lady Gaga belting it out and Bradley Cooper belting it out too. I think this will be a fun movie. It's a sad movie, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see. And I'm excited for it for that reason. I don't know if it'll be good.
It's got Oscar hype. It's on a lot of Oscar hype lists, which is, I'm curious if that's more potential or if it really is something that people have heard is going to be very good.
Yeah, like I think it's going to be good, but it's also something that seems like it has potential to maybe not be. But based upon who's in it, I don't think so. I'm banking on this being really good.
Yeah, so A Star is Born, I'm sure that'll be on some other lists here, or at least close to the top 10. Yeah. Ken Jack, you can go. Number five.
My number five is also A Star is Born. It kind of sounds
A Star is Born.
It sounds like a Broadway show or something, doesn't it? Like you were saying, like maybe like an intro thing for like an actress or something. A Star is Born.
A Star is Born. Come on and see the show.
Next week, Bette Midler
Lady
on the
Gaga
podcast.
And Bradley Cooper singing songs you know.
And who's the guy with the cool voice? I always forget his name. In the mustache. Wow, I'm blanking hard.
The cool voice in the mustache.
He plays the manager.
Talks like.
Yeah, he has like the super gruff Western voice.
Who's in the
movie? He was in Ghost Rider and many other things. Just the first thing I think of.
Oh, Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit, he is in this movie.
He's the manager.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm really excited for that. The commercial, the trailer for it so far has been insanely good. The one thing that I didn't like about it was like when she's like, oh, I'd love to sing, but everyone thinks I'm ugly. And he's like, yeah, well, I think you're beautiful. It's like as if Bradley Cooper liking you evaluates your entire self-worth. Yeah. That was so stupid.
Yeah, well, I'm Bradley Cooper, so here's my opinion.
And I think you're hot as hell, lady. Like, and it's like, okay, now they're in love now. It's like, that's dumb. But the song sounded really good. And when Lady Gaga kicked in with the pipes, I was like, woo, And when we first saw the trailer in theaters too with the surround sound.
Goosebumps. That's going to have to lead for Oscars.
For sure.
A song category or all of them. All the sound and whatever categories. A Star is Born is number 8 for me. My number 5 is Mission Impossible Fallout. And I am beyond excited for this movie. So that's how you know the ones above it I'm very excited for. This movie comes out very soon. I just can't wait. The reactions are huge. I think the first reviews are going up maybe next week. And man, Mission Impossible Fallout. It's going to be a hell of a time. I have high expectations for this
one.
The
first review came out.
It did?
It just got published. Yeah. Let me read a clip from it.
Oh, no.
Get down with the victim. You both know you need him. You're stuck in the middle of all irrelevance.
Nice.
Ooh. That's the snippet?
Lofty
damn.
Praise.
That's pretty wild stuff.
Lofty praise.
That's a hell of a tease. Yeah, my expectations are high. If it's not going to try and, as we said about Scar, not going to let that factor in, but I do have high expectations. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a good time. Listeners. I did it again. Audience. We're dropping that word. You're not just listeners anymore. Audience, number 5. The Predator.
What?
Come on. The audience list is... I'm just shocked. The number 1 on the audience list is very surprising. We'll have a fun little guessing game in a minute. But yeah, The Predator. Trill. Number 4 most anticipated movie the rest of 2018.
Mission Impossible Fallout.
All right. Not much more to say about that.
Nope.
Is there any more of that review? Or no? Is that all you want to read? We have to read it ourselves.
Can't fight the friction. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Dun, dun. With
fist
the fists.
Cock.
Gotta do the fists.
Cock.
Gotta do the fists.
I may stand up in the theater. Or like, make the noise yourself.
Oh, fuck. You know what we should probably do for this one, for a movie review? It's going to have to be in the bathroom.
Bathroom
for the popcorn
tile.
Review.
Oh, yeah.
Popcorn review. Bathroom gonna... tile.
No. Not going to get arrested. Just going to eat the popcorn in the bathroom.
Eat it off the tile.
All right. Let's not go
actually,
crazy.
The one. No, I wouldn't. I would. If you suggested that, I wouldn't even. I'd be like,
Jeff,
buddy.
Eat the damn popcorn off the tile.
Ken's eating some gross things. I've said that when we do the mint jelly, I will do it. I will. We just haven't found the
interns loved it.
One intern loved it. Is that the intern that was eating Cheetos with fucking chopsticks today? Which I know is like, he's living in 2058. Like, I know
no,
that's
it's
like
not.
A... get the fuck out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Your number 4, Ken Jack. Most anticipated movie of the rest of 2018.
My number 4 is Widows. Widows has not gotten a lot of hype so far. It's going to be fucking awesome. You got Liam Neeson, Viola Davis, Colin Farrell, John Barenthal, Michelle Rodriguez, Daniel Kaluuya, Robert Duvall. It's like a pretty nuts cast. Also, Elizabeth Debicki, who's like sort of having a huge year now. It looks awesome. It's like a revenge plot, a revenge slash heist movie. If you guys haven't seen the trailer yet, I highly, highly recommend it because it was insanely well done. It's directed by Steve McQueen, who did 12 Years a Slave. It was co-written by Gillian Flynn, who did Gone Girl. It's like every bit of that is formulaic for a movie that I will absolutely love and rewatch a billion times because it's going to be like a big TV movie.
Yeah.
Guess what? My
I'm
number
really
four.
Excited.
My number 4 is Widows as well. I'll let the conversation roll off into this because I am pumped. Saw the trailer on the big screen the other day before I saw Sorry to Bother You. Widows looks fantastic. And the trailer's really well done, too.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, you see someone about to hold someone up, and you're like, oh, who is that? And then you see who it is. I won't spoil the trailer, I guess, because I think it makes the trailer more special. You see who it is at the end of the trailer, and you're like, oh, shit. So, I mean, it sets up a hell of a movie. And just the description alone, in debt because of their dead husband's criminal activities for a failed heist, four women take fate into their own hands to conspire to build a future on their own terms. So basically, pull off their own heist. I mean, damn. It's going to be intense. Steve McQueen's doing the movie. You'll know Steve McQueen from 12 Years a Slave. So
like the things I just mentioned.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was.
And
I was
Colin Farrell's
it up.
In it too.
Colin Farrell.
Yes, Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Catrill, you said you're excited as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's not on my list. I will say that. But it looks awesome.
So, Widows, my number 4. Ken Jackson, number 4. Number 4 for the listeners, Mission Impossible Fallout. Good pick. Good pick, listeners. Number 3, Trill.
Number 3. I'm going with Mary, Queen of Scots.
What? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's my number 9.
Margot Robbie. Saoirse Ronan. And, you know, after I just got done saying how much I loved Lady Bird all of last year and the first quarter of this year, I'm really excited to see what Saoirse Ronan does next. So I'm hyped for this.
Yeah, this has massive Oscar hype, early or mid-year Oscar hype. Guy Pearce as well is in this one. David Tennant, but Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie are leading the charge. Margot Robbie is Queen Elizabeth. Saoirse Ronan is Mary Stuart. I'm pumped. Very excited. Number 9 on my list as well. Or excuse me, it's number 3 on yours, number 9 on my list. Ken Jack, what's your number 3?
My number 3 is Bad Times at the El Royale. You got Jeff Bridges, Hemsworth, Hamm, Offerman, Dakota Johnson, which, you know, whatever. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, she's going to be good. I'm telling you. She's away from 50 Shades. Dakota Johnson's going to bring the heat in this one.
Yeah, so
yeah, she's broken free. She's broken. She's 50 Shades freed from 50 Shades.
Hey,
hope so.
Yeah,
a lot of great actors. Pretty cool setting in like the 50s casino world. We got it looks like it's going to be a semi-heist movie, semi-cult in it because it looks like Chris Hemsworth is some sort of cult leader. It's got the same guy who adapted the screenplay for The Martian, which is an awesome movie. And I think that everything about it spells the movie again, just like the last one, that I'm absolutely going to love and rewatch a billion times.
Actually, Kaylee Spaney's in it. I think that's how you pronounce her name. She's playing Jane Ginsburg in the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie coming out this fall, where Felicity Jones plays Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Armie Hammer's in it, Justin Theroux, Kathy Bates. So yeah, she's in that one as well. It's another one that people have mentioned they're excited for. But Bad Times at El Royale, I had that number 6. That just missed out on my top 5. Another awesome trailer. Jeff Bridges, the fucking man. My number 3, Black Klansman, which has been called almost a virtual lock at this point for being an Oscar Best Picture nominee. And we've talked about Black Klansman a little bit. I think some people have seen it. It's been, I think, screened here and there. It officially comes out in August, so it's very soon. Yeah, it's got a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes already. It's a Spike Lee joint from Blumhouse. So Blumhouse may find its way back up on the Oscar stage. I mean, this one, from all accounts, is going to be incredible. John David Washington, Adam Driver. The way it's been described, it's pretty incredible. So it's Ron Stallworth. I'll read the plot summary. An African-American detective in Colorado Springs infiltrates the local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan, eventually becomes the head of the chapter. And it's a Spike Lee movie from Blumhouse. Audience, 3, Creed 2. Creed 2, number 3 from the audience. Troy Bolins, number 2, most anticipated movie the rest of the year.
Number 2 is The Irishman.
Al Pacino joint?
Scorsese.
Yeah, but Al Pacino is in it.
I know, but it's just like anything Scorsese, I get excited for because it's Scorsese.
Yeah, but you correct me. All right, move on.
I know, but I'm just saying that's why. I don't know much more about it other than who's in it, and Scorsese's doing it. And
isn't it coming out next year?
Did it get moved?
I think it's coming out next year now. I'll let you say it, though.
Yeah.
Wait, is it coming out next year?
Yeah, it's Netflix next year. Isn't this the movie where De Niro stands in the tall fucking shoes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming out next year. Oh, man, what a boner this
keep
is.
Keep it, though. Keep it.
Keep it. Keep it. I like this. It's a different
movie. Let's see. I could pull something down from my list. I also had... let me just sub this one in there. Very similar movie. Mary Poppins 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Return of Mary Poppins or whatever?
Yeah. Because, you know, good cast. You got my boy Lin-Manuel in there. And I think that'll be a very good family movie for the holidays. And as a dad, you know, what more can you ask for?
It got moved. It got bumped up a couple, like, weeks or 2 weeks. It's coming out earlier.
God,
now.
I thought you were going to say it got moved to 2019.
Oh, no.
I was going to pick another fucking 2019.
One Disney news that we didn't mention that came out today as well is Wreck-It Ralph's title got changed.
To what?
It was... Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2, now it's just Ralph Breaks the Internet. You would have thought they'd just chop off the first episode, like, fuck, I could just call it Wreck-It Ralph 2, it's too confusing. But yeah, they got changed to Ralph Breaks the Internet. Interesting move there. So that's your number 2, Trill, The Irishman / Mary Poppins Returns. Whatever. Whatever, you get a pass. Ken Jack, number 2, most anticipated rest of the year.
My number 2, First Man. This is going to be mentioned somewhere else. I'm positive, so I'm only going to go into slight detail. You know, obviously you got the Goss God and Chazelle. You got Claire Foy, Kyle Chandler, Corey Stoll, Jason Clark, Kieran Hinds, Popo Schreider, who's okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he deserves to be mentioned in the top billing. But it's a great, it's obviously an amazing story, landing on the moon, and it's going to deep dive deep into some stuff we didn't know about. Like, the house fire scene that's in the trailer, I didn't even know it was a thing, and I looked it up, and apparently, like, his whole house, like, burnt down and nearly killed him and his whole family. I had no clue about that until I saw it in the trailer. But, it, I don't know, looks incredible by all means, but I'm sure we're going to get into it in a minute.
So, yeah, First Man, you're number two. My number two? This one, for some reason, I keep forgetting it's coming out this year, probably because we haven't seen any promotional material. We have seen promotional material for The Subject, though, because The Subject was just in a trailer released a couple days ago, or yesterday, with Sacha Baron Cohen, and that's Backseat.
Yeah.
From Adam McKay. That's the biopic, the biodrama based on Dick Cheney. He's going to be in this Sacha Baron Cohen show, but Christian Bale's Dick Cheney, Amy Adams as Lynn Cheney, Steve Carell as Donald Rumsfeld, Bill Pullman as Nelson Rockefeller, Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush. You have, who else is in this one? Looking at it. Tyler Perry as Colin Powell, and Adam McKay, who is just, he's a dynamite. Also produced by Will Ferrell as well, and Brad Pitt. I mean, this movie... Again, this is very close to being number one for me. Adam McKay, if you don't know who Adam McKay is, he has done many movies that you love. Trust me, he's done The Big Short, he was the director on, also the writer. He did Anchorman, he did The Other Guys, he did Step Brothers, he did Talladega Nights. I mean, Adam McKay has one of the craziest filmographies, and now he's going to pull in what I guarantee is going to be another Oscar contender. His movie's definitely going to be up at the Oscars or something.
Yeah.
The cast is too big. Adam McKay's too successful at this. Like, it's just...
I just need a trailer.
I need some content here. I need something to happen with this movie already. Like, I need to see what I'm working with. This is also the cursed image of Christian Bale, where he fattened up. But it is a ways away. It's December 14, 2018. So it's even further away than First Man, which we only just got a trailer for recently. So... Oh man, Backseat is gonna be it's gonna be a hell of a ride. Listeners, number two. Damn it, I said it again. Audience, not just listeners. Audience, number two most anticipated movie for the rest of 2018 is Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah,
Bohemian Rhapsody. So here's things they haven't said yet. First Man. They haven't. I guess that's it from the ones we've said. they haven't said. I mean, they haven't said Backseat, Black Klansman, Widows, A Star Is Born. So. We'll see. What's number one? We'll play a guessing game in a second. Trill, what's your number one most anticipated for the year? Is it First Man?
It's First Man.
Say
it's First Man. Say it like that.
Yeah, it rolls off like a Star's Word. It's mine as well. My number one is First Man as well, obviously. Ken, Jack, you already basically went into it. I mean, the Goss God, Claire Foy, Kyle Chandler, John Bernthal's in it. I mean, this movie is going to be hopefully the best movie of the year. That's what I'm hoping for, because I'm gunning for the Goss God to be back up there again, to be an award season darling. And I hope he wins Best Actor. That would be, wait, this podcast, oh boy. You know, we're getting the merch up soon. But this podcast having Ryan Gosling win Best Actor at the Academy Awards. That's a win for the podcast, because we've been, it's a win for the podcast. I mean, not to take anything away from the Goss God if he wins. But yeah, that's what would happen.
I think I know what the audience number one pick is, Jeff.
We'll get to it in a second. Get to it in a second. Though we know what Ken Jex is.
What?
So Trill's number one most anticipated is First Man. Mine is First Man. Yours has to be Mission Impossible,
yeah,
right?
It's Mission Impossible.
Yeah, of course. You haven't said it yet. I knew it was Mission Impossible.
I could not. And there's going to be movies I like better than Mission Impossible. Yeah. 100%. But all the marketing and everything and like behind-the-scenes featurettes, everything has me so fucking hyped up. And based off the first reactions of the bathroom fight so far, which everyone has said is incredible, like I might cum my pants during that scene. They are hyping up so much, and like the second he does the fist cock, I'm gonna blow a load. Cummies in my pants. That is going to happen the second that scene goes through.
And I'm gonna bust.
Exactly. Or once he does the jump, the Halo jump out of the plane, I've watched like 10 featurettes on it already. Like I'm so ready for it. I'm just prepared.
Shout out to the A-list.
MeUndies.
Shout out to MeUndies. No, they're not a sponsor. Four hymns. So shout out to A-List, which I won't say the theater chain that does A-List, but now we can just go see this shit in IMAX. I mean, opening night IMAX, no doubt.
Oh, I'm going to be there in the back fucking row.
I mean, we always
no
are.
Black light.
All right, take your guess. What's the number one movie from the audience? What?
I got it. With 99% confidence, I say Venom.
Jeez, wow, you got it.
What?
Wow, I did Whoa. Not.
He's walking off. Trill's walking off.
Trill
the
is
court.
Dancing. He's just.
He's doing the robot.
He's doing the robot.
Oh
wow.
My God, he's doing the moonwalk.
That's impressive. What tipped you off?
It's Tom Hardy, and I feel like our audience really likes Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I can see that. I was just
comic
shocked.
Book movies, and this is, I think, besides the X-Men Dark Phoenix movie, which hopefully is still coming out this year. Maybe that got moved too. I feel like this is the biggest comic book movie left in the year, and Tom Hardy.
Aquaman was their number 10, and Into the Spider-Verse, but I think Venom is probably more anticipated than Aquaman at this point.
Yeah, just because I think you have Tom Hardy, and I feel like it has an air of mystery behind it, whereas Aquaman's only air of mystery is it going to be a 55 or is it going to be a 62?
Yeah, that's very true. I hope Aquaman.
Venom could be a 13 or Venom could be a 92. We don't know.
Very true. Yeah, there is a much bigger range.
If Aquaman had a trailer, I might put it on the list, but I need to see something from it first.
That was impressive. I did not think you would guess that. That was good. That's props. Aquaman 10, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse number 9, Wreck-It Ralph 2, which is not even called that anymore. It's Ralph Breaks the Internet at 8. Fantastic Beasts 2 at number 7 for the audience.
Really?
What audience vote? This is not like our normal audience. Yeah.
It's off the rails.
Like, our audience typically identifies with like the same things and like has a very distinct taste, but this is hey, whoa.
To each their own. To each their own. Like, no
all
criticism.
Audiences, they love the Venom, all right? I'm just saying. They're not saying anything. I'm just saying. Let's not take any this elitist coastal mindset on nothing, all right?
Fantastic Beasts 2, I'm out on. Wow. I'm just...
Same here. I mean, we're going to see it. We're going to review it. I really have, like, if you told me it got canceled, wouldn't change my day. Like, if I was walking somewhere and you told me while I was walking, I wouldn't stop.
Yeah, if you told me you could have, like, a free screening for it or something. Like,
we're gonna see it.
Yeah.
We're still gonna see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't get excited. Like, if they said, you can see Fantastic Beasts right now, I'd be like, well, I kind of want to go home and eat dinner.
Yeah, like, I want to go play video games or something.
You know what? Like, I'm gonna wait, actually.
Summer League's on, man.
Yeah, I gotta watch. Isn't the World Series of Poker rerun on?
Gotta see that Phil Hellmuth. Youth, I don't know.
Yeah, we're not a poker pod. You can get away with it. Another movie that I didn't have in my top 5, but I had in my top 10 was Halloween, by the way. Again, this is movie we're most anticipating for.
Yeah.
Our most anticipating, however the terminology is. Halloween, just to see Danny McBride give it a shot here. Very curious to see how this works, because the comedy into horror thriller thing has been a trend, so I'm curious how that works. Most anticipated, sorry, Trill, audience Venom, myself and Trill, First Man, Ken Jack, First Man's in number 2, but number 1 is Mission Impossible Fallout. Go ahead, Trill.
Another one I mentioned before on, someone asked this in question form on a few podcasts ago, and I said, can you ever forgive me, with Melissa McCarthy?
Yes, so
still looking forward to that.
It would be number 11. I dropped it off, but I told Ken Jack today that I didn't realize that has Oscar buzz as well, which I can totally see.
Yeah,
what I mean, that'd be would you are you agree? Like, if Melissa McCarthy hammered in an Oscar performance, like, that'd be pretty fucking awesome,
especially after like a year off.
Well, yeah, I mean, she had Life of the Party this year,
oh,
right?
God.
And
yes,
and then yeah, I always like to see comic actors get a turn with a serious role and just nail it. It's very satisfying. So I hope she does well, and I'm really excited to see this movie.
Second half, very excited. Can't wait. Skyscraper, reviewing that on Thursday, so please go see Skyscraper. Remember to tweet us and at Rawson Thurber and at The Rock. He quote-tweeted, The Rock quote-tweeted our idea here. And he quote-tweeted one of the listeners, too. Tweet them your BPM, your heart rate during the movie. Have a little fun here. See how crazy this movie really gets.
I'm just going to tell myself that it's The Rock and not his version of Intern Kevin.
Like, who retweeted it?
Yeah.
He handles a lot of his social. I know. The GMA. Yeah.
I know. But I am a very cynical person, so I have to bring us down a notch. We're getting a little too full of ourselves. We still want to be the hungry small-time movie boys.
We're going to have some merch hopefully very soon. Yeah. I mean, I can't really divulge into what it is, but we have somebody who's helping us. I'll shout them out on the old Twitter, but he helped us make Really, and we're going to have some cool merch coming up. Yeah, fuck Really. We have some cool merch coming up hopefully very soon in the Barstool store.
Really.
And when we get the merch, we're going to fulfill some of those challenger competitions that we did. We just have to wait because we need a new store again. Anything else, guys?
That was a fun little episode.
It was. I figured we would hang on Blockbuster for a while. I'm glad we did.
Despite Really's negative attitude and outlook he brings to the podcast, I still think we did okay. And he's involved in illegal activity, which I feel like that association is going to come back to haunt us, really.
Yeah, I don't support it one bit.
Taxes, they pay for important social services. They pay for, like, police, like, firefighters, roads, and this asshole is just withholding it because he wants to be a greedy fuck. I say he's a piece of shit and a cum pig, and I hate him.
Fuck. Okay. That's it. For Ken Jack and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Have a good week at the box office. Mama's mad, but I never cared. And babe, I don't regret it. I'm pretty sorry that you never met. But girl, I work on that. Even a million miles won't get me gone. I'll meet you every night. In every dream I find your love. And that makes me smile. Whenever, wherever, we're meant to be together. I'll be there and you'll be near. And that's the deal, my dear. We're over, you're under. You never have to wonder. You can always play by ear. And that's the deal, my dear. Till I die.